Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen, and we have a telephone bind.
I'm sorry. The genius of live radio. Just hit the button on the far left and hit it down. Just keep hitting it down there. The far left and the bottom there. We'll cut all this out there.
There we go.
There we go. All right. See, it's, that's the joys of live radio here,
that's
folks.
That's how we do it here. That's how we do it here. Well, Paul, I don't think we've ever had such a full...
I'm telling you, you're pressing the bounds. You can't see, but off camera, there's publicists, there's makeup people, there's photographers, everybody. There's a whole crew in here today.
Well, I'm certainly pleased to have a room full, as we said. I've got my partner, Letitia Burbaum. Hello, Letitia.
Hello.
And we have our special guest, Shane Bond, who is a member of the CDFA and also the Leisure Society designer. Sean, welcome to the show. Shane, welcome to the show. Sorry.
No problem, Bill.
That is the best comeback we've had in 5 years. Yeah. Just so simple. He did it right there.
There we go. So, Shane, we're excited to have you on the show today. I know you've got a very great pedigree of history and what you've done and where you've been. Let's start with telling the audience what a CDFA is.
Yeah, it's the CFDA, so it's the Council.
I'm just screwing everything up.
That's okay. We're off to, we can only improve from here. So it's the Council of Fashion Designers of America. So it would be a group of designers. I guess the more prominent members would be Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, Tom Ford, just virtually a laundry list of some of the best designers in the world, Marc Jacobs, Tory Burch, and it's an organization that focuses on mostly on bringing up young designers and also educating people of the art of design. And so it's a fraternity that's been, fraternity/sorority, that's been around the better part of 50 years.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an organized degree of some sort. It's something you do either post or free or in conjunction with school?
Well, the membership is by invitation only, and so every year people submit their portfolios, and then they admit a certain amount of members per year, and then you are a lifetime member. And then every year they have the fashion awards in the early summer of the year. And so they give awards for, you know, menswear designer of the year, women's wear designer of the year, accessories designer of the year, and so on.
Oh, great.
And so it's a pretty big affair that they hold in New York.
How long have you been a member?
I guess about 7 years.
Nice. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Do any of those awards go along with you?
Not yet.
Not yet? Working on it?
No. An eyewear designer, which is my specialty, has not won the accessories award yet.
Yeah.
But okay. I am hopeful and... I can envision that someday. So,
well, we're rooting for you.
Thank you.
So why don't you tell the audience to start with what Leisure Society is, and then I'd like to talk about how you got to where you are.
No problem. Leisure Society is the world's finest eyewear. I had spent a good part of my career working with Louis Vuitton, and specifically working on eyewear for them. And eventually, they insisted that I move to Paris, and I had young children at the time, and that was not going to be an option. So I declined the job, and all my mentors said, well, your resume is not going to get much better, so you might as well make your own brand. Wow. And so I decided to name it after a social club that I had called Leisure Society.
All right. And how long ago did you do that?
I guess I started the brand 7 years ago.
Okay. All right. So I've heard the word heirloom design. So tell us what that means.
Well, heirloom design is making something once with the intention of it lasting forever. And there's a lot of, I guess there's a designer name or an inventor named Saul Griffith, and he's got behind this theory of, you know, if you made something to last 50 or 100 years and you put a certain amount of energy in it, it's ultimately sustainable. And so a good example of that might be, like I'm wearing a watch, for example, that was made in the 1950s, and it has replaceable parts. It still keeps time perfectly, and it actually has increased in value over time. And so I guess I first learned about this collecting guitars, specifically American-made guitars, and then all of a sudden, I mean, you're in investments.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what a great investment to buy and watch it increase in value over time, have a sentimental value, And ultimately, you know, should you want to get rid of it, it's a nice investment. I know people think the same about classic cars sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of been obsessed with products of inherent value.
Which is super unusual for a use asset, right? Because usually assets that we use, i.e. car or the maybe the lesser brand watches or normal sunglasses, they basically go down to a zero value. So what makes something like that different? What makes yours maintain a value or a presence?
Well, you know, there's the inherent value of using exotic metals. So everything that we make is made with 12, 18, and 24 karat gold-plated titanium. Best-in-class lenses, comes with a leather case and a lifetime warranty.
Did you bring any to see?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course.
We're ready. Bring them out here. Let's, while we're talking, let's take a look at some of them here.
Why don't you give them the pair you're wearing, Aaron?
This is the Beta Titanium.
Correct, yeah.
So pretty. So we're live, by the way, and then we're also on the video. So I'm going to bring it up to the camera so you guys can take a look if you're watching on YouTube.
Now describe what we're seeing.
Yeah,
please tell us
what we're looking at.
So you're seeing a 18-karat gold-plated Beta Titanium. It is a memory metal.
Put them on there, Letitia. That's
right. Right? Yeah. Yo, you're a great model. Go ahead and put it on. Okay, I'm going to put them on.
Yeah, can we do some sort of QVC slot right now?
We only have 300 left.
Love it, 300. Love it. So tell me about these glasses.
And so those are 18 karat gold plated titanium. The lenses are CR39. There's a 12 layer anti reflective coating.
What does that mean?
So CR39 is a material that's 99.9% optical clarity. So it's one of the most clear materials that you can make a lens with.
It's not just plastic. It's not just glass or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Okay. They look good on, but they actually, you can see at them and they look great.
It has the optical clarity of glass, but the lightness of a nylon. There's also a 12-layer anti-reflective coating on the inside, which helps any glare or sunlight from the back.
12 layers of anti-glare coating on it. And so you're saying even from the back it doesn't...
Correct. It keeps.
It's not just from the front, but it's from the back, as it bounces out.
Correct. And then, there's also a diamond cast scratch resistance, which keeps the lenses from scratching.
That's what I need.
And then, on top of that, there's a hydrophobic coating, which doesn't seem important at all until you find yourself on the front of a boat or something like that, and you get splashed, and the water, the water will come off like a freshly waxed car.
Got it.
It beads off. It doesn't just stick to it. So I'm just fascinated. I know this is their show, but I just can't stop talking here.
This is Paul.
Is this some? I never heard of any of this stuff. Are you the only one doing this, or is this just I'm not living in the right world? I'm just going down and buying my glasses at LensCrafter here or something.
Well, we are best in class, and again, coming off a project like Louis Vuitton, we wanted to make sure that that we were doing everything to the best of our ability. So I knew that titanium is the lightest and strongest material. We played it with gold, not to be fancy, but because gold is the most corrosion resistant.
Yes, exactly. That's why they use in audio equipment all the time. Gold plated stuff, plugs and everything here, because it doesn't corrode. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I was looking at a chart just yesterday. We shared it with our sales agents, and the most corrosive material, of course, was magnesium. You remember throwing a piece in water and watching it spin around and kind of explode?
Yeah.
And then if you get to the other end of the table, it was just titanium and gold. And then there's one material that's better than us, which is graphite. I haven't heard anybody making eyewear from graphite yet. So we are best in class.
So what makes you absolutely unique compared to all of your competitors?
Correct. We just know that we can look at anybody in the eye and say we make the best eyewear in the world.
You can look at them in the eye and see them.
I like that
one. And where do you get this stuff? And then I'll shut up here. Where do you find, how would I find you? How would anybody even know that this stuff exists?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to buy it locally in Newport Beach, you could go to Amaury's, that beautiful boutique on Coast Highway.
I think I've seen that. I've gone by there, yeah.
Yeah, you could buy it at Coast Optometry over by Fashion Island. You could buy it at Fred Siegel in Los Angeles.
That's a cool store. I've been there a minute. So selected places you can go find this stuff. Right?
Correct. About 350 retail locations worldwide right now.
All right, so I'm going to bring this back to the investment world. So, and a little bit of fashion. So it's designed to last a lifetime, but how do you ensure or assure that the fashion statement will survive a lifetime?
That's a great question. We always look for classically inspired shapes. And there are a certain number of shapes over time. I guess most notably a shape like the aviator. It's not necessarily in style or out of style.
Yeah.
It complements most people's faces. And so you always look at classic shapes, and then we're always looking at just redefining textures, and we take a more of a jewelry-like approach, because we feel like if you're going to make an heirloom quality product, you have to do it with a great attention to detail.
Yeah. Is this something you would insure?
That's a funny question, because I have so many people that's they always say, like, I always lose my frames, and it is kind of a common thing. I will say that our frames are a bit more expensive, and so you tend to pay more attention to them, you would a nice watch or your cell phone or wallet.
Is it close to the price of a cell phone? More or less.
It really is.
Okay.
And it's funny that you would mention that, because people buy cell phones every day. But yeah, our retail price point sits in the $400 to $1,400 range.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the top end being made from block titanium and plated with 1 micron of platinum and 3 microns of gold.
Wow. So, a little more about your background. Now I'm super fascinated. I was going to get all these business questions, but I'm more interested on the other part. So, are you an artist or just plain designer by trade? How'd you get to where you are?
Yeah, I started out with a background in industrial design and industrial technology, and then I graduated from school, and my parents were kind of prodding me to get a real job, and I had met a guy named Mossimo at the beach here. Yeah. In Orange County, and
the volleyball short Massimo.
Exactly. He said, "Geez, I got this company that's growing like crazy. What are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just graduated from college. I'm not doing a lot right now." And so, I started in the warehouse with him, and my parents were still prodding me to get a real job and not waste my degree. And after about 6 months, he said, "Well, geez, you have a engineering type background. It seems like you're really wasting your life here. I'm starting an eyewear division, and it's going to be a little bit more technical, so maybe that would be something good for you to get into." But I really started at the bottom then. I learned to import and export goods, manage the cost of goods sold, answer the phone. Hello, Mossimo Optic, may I help you? But really, it would be everything that you would need to start a company later in life.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That goes right into what we talk about here. So, any other formal training as far as like business other than on the job, which is the real training?
Yeah, I minored in business management. Okay. My father was an entrepreneur, and I'm constantly listening to various podcasts and reading books, and just obsessed with trying to be better as an executive and as a designer.
Yeah. So, what's your company like? I mean, employees, staff.
Yeah, we have it's a small company, so we're about 7 people in house, and then 22 sales agents worldwide, and then we work with distributors. But we're a lean and mean company.
What's next for you?
Well, I mean, we're really focused right now on just growing our brand and trying to figure out the direct to consumer model while also dealing with brick and mortar retail. We're always just constantly, just working on growing the brand.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time. And, we're always working on new projects, new collaborations. It's fun to work with different designers and different brands.
Okay. What's that about? So with other optical brands and designs, or like where I met you at Bespoke, that type of thing?
Yeah, you could work with nearly anybody. I mean, I've done work with, I did a collaboration with Mark Mothersbaugh, the singer from Devo.
Oh yeah, what, really?
Yeah, it was I was a huge fan of his when I was a kid, so I got the opportunity to meet. And he said, "Geez, I've been legally blind, and I've always wanted to make some glasses." And I said, "Let's do a collaboration together." There was another girl in my CFDA class named Rebecca Minkoff, and so I did a collaboration with Rebecca also.
Yeah. Okay. And well, great. Well, I've got a lot more stuff to ask you. We're going to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Awesome.
With more than 25 years of experience, Bart's comprehensive perspective has earned acclaim from clients across the globe. Gain access to lessons learned throughout Bart's career by following at Bart Sandbergen on Instagram. To learn more about Bart Sandbergen as an advisor, mentor, and public speaker, and for more information on Optivest Wealth Management, please visit www.bartsandbergen.com.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
All right, we're selling the luxury stuff here today with Bart Zandbergen and Letitia Always. You guys just seem to run in circles I don't even know are out there. How did you even find this? How did you guys? Through Dave at Bespoke?
Yeah, mutual designer friend of ours.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal stuff here. I'm fascinated to look. Is there a big market for this? Is high-end designer eyewear? I didn't know that the category even existed.
I think that there's a whole generation of kids that are enjoying learning about fine things, and whether it's the way the fabric is put together in a suit or the way that shoes are crafted. But I think, you know, after growing up in a supermarket disposable goods society for a number of years, there's people that want to learn more about things of inherent value and about craftsmanship and about old world technologies that have been lost over time. And I think when they do things like that, they end up in a studio like Bespoke, working with the tailor, learning about the Scotch through Bespoke's
that's right.
extensive Scotch collection, and learning about cigars and everything. I mean, yeah. Learning how to be a gentleman or somebody who understands more refined things in life.
So you
I was going to say, Paul, as soon as we get you out of your cargo shorts and cash shoes,
I'm being real quiet during this part here. You know, but I've said this a million times. I'm an aging baby boomer. I'm an old ex-hippie kind of thing. And I still dress and act like that. Because we were revolting. And my father was very refined, custom tailor, sharp dresser, the rat pack, you know, liked all the finer things in life. He always said there was two ways to go in life, first class and no class. And unfortunately, I took the second route because that was kind of the consumer world that we lived in. It's just
now we're going back.
I think we're going back
to more formal. People enjoy it. Yeah, they want to look nice. They want to dress nice.
Yeah, eat nice, dress nice, live nice. Yeah,
absolutely.
Appreciate the better things in life. Yeah.
So Shane, we're gonna approach it from a little kind of a business angle now. So you're a business owner. You've got your employees. You've worked your way up. If you skinned your knees anywhere on the way, things that you would share with someone like, hey, you avoid this or make sure you do that.
Well, I think as a business owner, I mean, number one, if you're an entrepreneur. I always say, what do I do? And I'm like, I make and prototype frames and manage inventory. And so I just think, you know, really, as an entrepreneur, if you have a product, just keeping, it seems like, you know, sometimes like a thing that wouldn't be important, but managing your inventory is critical to your cash flow and to your ability to grow.
Great.
So how do you explain to the audience what's the difference between, like, what Bark's glasses he's wearing right now that are very nice looking O'Neill standard.
Be very kind.
Glasses compared to what you guys design.
Well, I tell you, I mean, number one, Bart's dressed nice all the time, so he certainly
all
understands.
Yeah.
So he certainly understands great quality and craftsmanship. But you know, if you wanted to start at the bottom of the food chain in your local gas station, you would see glasses that were made from an injected process, and that would be basically pouring plastic into a waffle iron and then putting some lenses in them. And so that would be at the bottom of the food chain. Then you would get up to the kind of stuff that you might see in a Ray-Ban or Oakley or somewhere along that line, which would be a reasonably nice handmade product. And then when you get to the top of the food chain, you start working with titaniums and high-tech alloys, and you start having more high-performance lenses. You know, our temples they have surgical grade stainless steel on the inside of the temples, and they actually operate not unlike a Swiss watch. I mean, the mechanism that allows you the comfort and flexibility of that temple, which will never need to be adjusted over time. Once it's set, it'll fit exactly the same for the rest of your life. And then if you look at the, you know, non-hyperallergenic plating that we put on it and titanium nose pads and everything else, you're just talking best-in-class product. Mm-hmm. And so we sit on top of the food chain. I don't judge, because like anything else in your closet, you have your your T-shirt to wear on the weekends and your, you know, and your Sunday best to wear on Sunday. So.
So a friend of mine told me once who worked in the action sport sunglass, he goes, everything comes Luxottica. They own everything. This clearly is not a Luxottica, correct?
Correct, yeah. If I play my cards right, maybe they'll buy me at some point. But no, I mean, they are the 900-pound gorilla. I mean, they have 8,000 doors vertical retail in the U.S. They own Lens Crafters and Pearle Vision Centers and Costco Optical, Sam's Club Optical. I mean... Sunglass Hut, and then brands. You know, they own Oakley. They own, Ray-Ban, Prada. So
yeah, wow.
They're big.
So I'm really interested in the name Leisure Society. That's an interesting brand name. So what's the story behind that?
Well, it started out as a social club. So before it existed, I was getting a group of friends together, and it was similar to what we've been talking about of kind of learning, age-old traditions and doing things, that were, that you didn't grow up doing. And so we had just reached the professional point in our careers where we were starting to do fancier things. And so, I said, good news, Bart, the limousine's going to pick you up at 9 a.m. and whisk you off to breakfast at the Four Seasons. And from there, you'll take your first class coach down to Del Mar, where another driver will be waiting for you. And you're going to opening day at Del Mar, the way that Bing Crosby did when he wrote a song about it in the 1930s. And so I finished this really extravagant itinerary, and I just thought, geez, I'm from a town of about 2,500. I grew up with a box of wine in the fridge and and surrounded by, hog farms and cornfields. So I'm not the most sophisticated guy on the planet, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
And so I just go, this doesn't seem like me. So I go, I have to make it from an official organization. So on the top of the invitation, I just wrote, by order of the Royal and Ancient Leisure Society. And from then on, every outing that we had that seemed a little bit outside of our class structure, whether it was going to the ballet or going fly fishing or doing kind of these age-old traditional, I guess you could say blue blood type sports, they were always Leisure Society outings. And so, it was the club and the organization that organized all that.
That's a great story. That's really good. You mentioned earlier you kind of self-taught through podcasts and books. You have favorite podcasters or authors?
I watch Joe Rogan pretty religiously.
Okay.
And Tim Ferriss. And
Tim's great, yeah.
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 And, I have a friend named Ryan Hauser that founded Paul Frank, and I like his podcast. He's a local boy.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. Big brand, right, Paul Frank?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't own it anymore, but we work together. I did a eyewear line for them for the better part of 15 years.
Okay.
So Ryan's a awesome friend and a good strategic thinker, and so I enjoy his podcast too.
So our little birdie told me that you're just one of 9 CFDAs. Is that true?
9 eyewear designers in the CFDA.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a small group, and every year they vote another one in. So
yeah,
it'll be.
Well, it seems like quite an honor.
Yeah.
Why is that so important for me that I don't understand this organization and why there's only 9?
Yeah, I think it's just it's an exclusive organization. You are voted in by your peers, and for every 20 portfolios that are submitted, one gets pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a real honor, and also on the fashion design of things. I mean, it really is the working body of global fashion design in the U.S.
Yeah.
So the classic question, where do you see yourself, your business in 5 years, in 10 years?
Well, I want to be recognized as the world's most successful luxury eyewear brand. And I would like to be a household name, and I would like the products that we're creating now and have created in the past to increase in value over time. We're already seeing that where people have bought the eyewear for a certain price point, and we even... internally have our vault, and so when something's not going to be produced again, and the production was limited to begin with, you see prices rise over time. So we actually have a market price on our products, and you can go online and find products that are more expensive than we originally charged for them.
Yeah,
which is an interesting concept in eyewear.
Super, yeah.
Yeah,
that's really
cool.
All right, well, believe it or not, we're just about out of time. Shane, it's really been a pleasure having you in studio today, and I do have the honor of asking our guest the final thought question. So the final thought question is, what is your ultimate lesson learned over your career as a eyewear designer?
To be humble. and to just never burn a bridge. I'm always I approach each day and each relationship with kindness and thanks and gratitude, and that's got to be number one.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that.
So how can people find you? Can you remind us and the audience how they can find all your glasses? And
yeah, if you just Google Leisure Society, leisure-society.
Eyewear or
no? Just if you just
is
oh
there,
yeah, you're that
if
far
you
up?
Just if you just put Leisure Society, it comes up first.
No kidding.
So yeah.
Well, well done.
Pick a unique name, and yeah. I guess you're not that hard to find.
All right, Tish. Anything more you have?
I think that it's been great. Yeah, it's been really good to get to know you. Is there? We can definitely put some things on our site too, so we can have people find you as well. And also, it's really important if you like our podcast or if you want to do follow up. Definitely, you can find us on Podbean, and you can go to the Zanbergen Report, Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom, and we can make sure that people find you as well that way.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and I did want to say that we are a family-owned and operated business. So my dad collects the bills, or collects the money, I should say, rather, and my children work there after school, and my mom cold calls people. So we're local, and if you do go to the website and have any information, we're small enough where the questions come right to us. And
I love that.
We'll
that's
take
great.
Care of you, yeah.
That's great.
All right, Shane, what's your guilty pleasure?
I love playing polo.
We love it. All right. All right, Shane, thanks again for being in the studio today. You did a great job, really informational. Thanks, everyone, who has tuned in, and we look forward to being back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
With more than 25 years of experience, Bart's comprehensive perspective has earned acclaim from clients across the globe. Gain access to lessons learned throughout Bart's career by following at Bart Zanbergen on Instagram. To learn more about Bart Zanbergen as an advisor, mentor, and public speaker, and for more information on Optivest Wealth Management, please visit www.bartzanbergen.com.